many things to rejoice in this morning. So thankful to see Christine and Donnie with us this morning. As Mike mentioned, continue to pray for Christine, but we're so happy to see her and Donnie with us today and been praying so much for her. And Donnie as well, Donnie's father, and his recent diagnosis. So continue to keep Dale your prayers. Also, rejoicing with baptism of Charlie Baker last Sunday evening after our services. And so we're thankful for that, his response. And we'll continue to watch him grow in his faith. And so thankful for his example to others and doing that and what that will mean to them. Mentioned visitation for Becky. Becky Rose's mother, Janice Moore, is this afternoon here in Pleasant View at Austin Bell from 2 to 6. And also tomorrow from 2 to 4. The funeral is tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Very unexpected passing of Janice. She's been with us, of course, several times and visiting with Becky. And so that family is hurting. So we encourage you to support them during this difficult time. Of course, our gospel meeting is coming up August 1st, 2 weeks from today. And everything that will be done this year will be everything we do usually when we combine the gospel meeting with Coopertown. My brother Steve will be leading the singing. Nathan Diller will be preaching, a good friend of Jeff from Coopertown. So be a great week. And I know that you'll be looking forward to that beginning August 1st. I'll be here Wednesday night. I'll be here both Sundays. Next Sunday, that'll be my last day here at Pleasant View, as we talked about last week. And again, very thankful for all the things that you've done for me. There'll be time to talk about those at a later time. But we are blessed in this life, and we are thankful for your presence this morning as we worship the Lord together. Let's go to our Father before we have our lesson. Lord, we are thankful this morning that you have given us life, you've given us love, you've given us your Son to die for us. We know this life is unpredictable. We cannot control most of the things that we wish we could control in this life. But we know that none of us are immune to trials and temptations. That we all face illness, we all face hardship of some kind. We lose things and people that we want to be close to. And your Bible, your word, acknowledges that these things will happen. But your Bible also teaches us that in these things we can grow our faith and draw closer to you. That we can be closer to Christ because we know that he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. We know that he was hungry at times, the times when he didn't know where he was going to lay his head at night, that he felt all the pains of this world. So we can have an example in Christ when we go through difficult situations. We're thankful for the church and fellow brothers and sisters who encourage us when we need it and bear our burdens. Thankful to see Christine this morning. We pray that you continue to bless her life. Thankful for Charlie's response last week and obeying the gospel. Bless Becky and the Rose family and also the Moore family and all those who knew Janice. We pray that those services will go well and to respecting her life and comforting those who are mourning. Pray that the gospel meeting beginning August 1st will be a success. Many will grow in their faith as a result of it. Be with the transition here at Pleasant View and at Liberty Hill. Be with my family in making that transition. Be with the family here at Pleasant View and be with the leaders here as they make wise decisions concerning the new preacher, how those things will be done, and also with things regarding our facility and changes that will be made in the near future. We are blessed in this life because you have blessed us and given us every good and perfect gift. We praise you for who you are, not just for what you've done for us. Continue to give us mercy and grace, for without it we'd be lost. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Preaching is very fundamental to the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul distinguished that part and that role as he described other parts of the church. In those days, he said there were apostles. Not everybody was an apostle. He said some were pastors or elders or shepherds. Not everyone fulfills that role. But he said some are evangelists, some are teachers. And there are those who feel that responsibility. We see that the early church in the first century being led in that way, talking about those who would teach. A phrase in those days often is prophesied. Some of that had to do with future events, but mostly prophesied was about just preaching. Another term for preaching and how the church benefited in that way. And Paul here in Romans 10 just asked three rhetorical questions. He says, how are they going to call on somebody that they haven't believed in? And how are they going to believe in something they haven't heard about? And how are they going to hear about the Lord unless someone teaches them, unless there's a preacher? While I've been here at Pleasant View these 10.5 years, as you have noticed, I don't often talk about myself. There have been times I'll use an illustration of something that happened in my life. I don't find my own life particularly fascinating, so I don't talk about it and use it that much to make a point. We know that it would be a misuse of the pulpit for somebody to point the light on themselves and talk about themselves all the time and make it as if the church is going to live or die based on the preacher, and that the faith of everyone in the room is going to be held together by the preacher. Matter of fact, it was a problem even in the first century. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when Paul said, the first problem you have here in this church among so many is that you have divisions because some of you are attaching yourselves to preachers. Some are saying, I'm Apollos Christian, and I'm a Peter Christian. And he said that you're following the preacher, and you're devoted to him. And Paul asked another rhetorical question. He said, is Christ divided? Of course not. We're all one in Christ. He is the only one we are faithful to, devoted to. These are just men who taught you these things, but they should always, of course, be pointing you to Christ, pointing you to faith in him, not faith in themselves. And he went on to say, he said, I'm glad I didn't baptize more of you. He named a few that he had baptized, not because he was minimizing baptism. He's saying because you have a division problem. You have a loyalty problem. And if I baptized more of you, you'd be attaching yourselves to me. And that's not what I want. Preaching is powerful. It has a role in the church. And from Romans to Revelation, you have the church, Christians, being taught how to be Christians. Romans was a letter to the Roman church. Titus and Timothy were letters to Christian evangelists and how they should do their jobs better. There's a letter to the Ephesians, writing to Christians. So preaching convicts the sinner and encourages the saint, the Christian. And we know that. And that's what I've tried to do these 10.5 years, is to highlight God's Word. Not highlight any one particular person here, not highlight myself. Maybe I failed at times to do that. But the key of the role of a preacher, again, is to highlight Scripture and to encourage people to use a highlighter instead of a knife when they read the Bible. Do you use a highlighter or do you use a knife? See, if you use a highlighter, it means I want to see that verse stronger. I want to think about that verse more. I want to apply that verse to my life. That is something I'm deficient in and I need to improve in. Or it's something about God. I need to understand God better. And I need to highlight that verse. I need to think about that verse, about who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. But some people take a knife and essentially, figuratively, just cut verses out, cut chapters out, I don't want to learn that. I don't want to deal with that. That makes me uncomfortable. That makes me have to change something in my life that I like to do. Or maybe it's telling me to do something that I've never done. So they take a knife and cut away, and I don't want that verse, and I don't like that verse. And God gives us His Word. He wants us to highlight. He wants us to focus. He wants us to meditate on His Word. As David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, I hold your Word close to my heart so that I may not sin against you. Many of you this morning have not been here since I've done an all-Scripture sermon. And that is that everything I say is a Scripture. I've designed the verses in a particular grouping. And then as we go through it, we see several verses that apply to various large Bible topics, from Genesis to Revelation. So for the remainder of our time this morning, that's what I want to do. Just as a way, as a means to highlight and put on a pedestal and focus simply on God's Word and not put anybody in the way. Not to put me in the way of it, not to put you in the way of it, but simply letting the Bible speak for itself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is higher rank than I, for He existed before me. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who was called the Messiah. We have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said to Him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? after it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." With many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting him, saying, "Be saved from this corrupt generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Or do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, the glory of the Father, so we too walk in newness of life. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. For this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day growing near. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, it was said, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the apostles, and said, take, eat, this is my body. When he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said to them, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. They were speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with their heart to the Lord. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. For each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. To give grief to those who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. We walk in the light as he himself is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, may enter by the gates into the city. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain Lord. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name. If you need to be baptized into Christ or you need prayers this morning, something on your heart or on your mind, I encourage you to come while we stand and sing together.